Okay, we're back. Let's go again. This time we are chatting about a genius way to get your kids into museums and do cultural things by giving them virtual Roblox items to collect as they go around museums. It's pretty smart.
Put them in a cannon, fire them off. Boom, boom, boom. That's the easiest way to get them into museums.
That would be literally the easiest way. What the fuck is a superconductor and why are people absolutely losing their minds over it? We'll break that down and go into it as much as we possibly can because that is bubbling. And Meta Horizon Worlds is not dead. They have announced a next kind of round of releases and promises, which we've seen before, but they're kind of
and losses. Let's not forget and losses. Yeah, big losses.
There is a new round of losses. Let's kick off then with the genius way to get kids into museums. So this is an interesting story. It's a kind of app and a hybrid experience called Replica. I get everything's called Replica. So I think people need to stop.
Yeah, how many AI companies are called Replica?
Like, loads.
Let's think of a really innovative name for our AI company. Have you seen that film Blade Runner? And then the replicants in there. That's
it's like really, the same, really good, but very resonant. Different. Yeah, same but different. So it's a replica. Okay, yeah, cool. But this is happening at the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art, and essentially, you get the app and then you go around the museum and you scan physical things. So there's a big suit of armor in the museum and Van Gogh's self-portrait with a straw hat and all these physical things you see. And then you can collect the digital artifacts that can be brought into Roblox as a wearable in your inventory, which is pretty cool. So there's pieces that are located in over 30 galleries kind of across the world. And it's kind of a challenge for visitors to collect them all. And you can also experience a virtual recreation of the museum in Roblox, which I'd be less excited about, I think. But collecting the stuff, I think, is a smart way to get kind of kids along to the museum, right?
Well, it's funny. In Holland, we have the museum pass. I don't know if I have it here. It's a very cool thing. Basically, you subscribe to the museum pass and then you get unlimited access to every museum in the Netherlands, which is actually really, really awesome. There's mine, museum card. Beautiful thing. Because, like, museums are sort of set up for kids, really, aren't they? Mostly. And they're amazing things. Like, they're government funded. And my kids love it. They absolutely love it. And they love doing the treasure hunts and everything else. They also love Roblox. I mean, they are nuts about Roblox. It is horrifying how much time I spend talking to my kids about Roblox. It's awful. You're just like,
Did your daughter get her stuff back? Because I know some.
No, she never got her stuff back. Oh. She never got her stuff back. It's a deep, deep shame. I'm gonna have to hire a Roblox detective to go and go on the beat and see what we can find. I don't know, but this is one of those things where, like, you know, there's always a bit of a thing in as a parent when your kids are kind of more interested in putting their phone up in front of something than actually looking at the thing itself. There was always that meme of Japanese tourists more interested in taking the photograph of the thing than actually seeing the thing itself. And that's a little bit like this, but I guess what it's saying is you can have a deeper connection with the things that you collect, and kids inherently do like to collect things and pick things up and go through all the hoops and everything else. There was an NFT, or sort of pseudo NFT project from 2017 or so that had this element to it, where you could look at it, you could scan a poster and you would rip a collectible off the poster and put it in your phone. So it could be a Coca-Cola poster and you would rip it off and then you could collect 5 of these tokens. And as you did so, there'd be a little animation of a Coke bottle that filled up and then you could redeem that for an actual Coke. And I was always thinking about how you could create these, you know, treasure hunts, as you say, you know, citywide through New York City, these activations where you have to go and visit certain points and pick things up. That sort of never really took off. And I was surprised because actually, you know what it was? Probably the pandemic killed it straight dead. But those kind of things, they feel inherently like they would be really fun. And we all saw those pictures of people in Hong Kong playing Pokemon Go, and it was insane. It was absolutely insane. But I think that is more down to the power of the Pokemon brand, which seems to just go from strength to strength to strength. It's just the most insane thing. And the inherent collectability of the mons themselves. You know what, though? Like, Roblox, I mean, it's kicking off. It's kicking off big time. And it's in the Quest. You can play it in VR now. They've been promising it for a really, really long time, but now you can actually play Roblox in VR. I don't think it's particularly good, but the fact that they've even got it there in the first place is a big deal. And, you know, if it's like one of the most, you know, played and visited games, if you can call it that, it's really a platform in the world right now. I think it's something like 220 million monthly active users, and it's now on Quest. It's a big deal. It's a big, big platform. And for Meta to even have some of those users coming from Quest, it's probably going to become the most played app on Quest. But the thing about our headsets, like, you know, it's mainly kids that play Roblox. And do they put headsets on? Do they play VR? I'm not sure. Mine do, but like, you find that they get a headache after about half an hour. And also, you know, they take their headset off and it's like just these big red goggle marks. I'm like, I'm a parent. I should be looking after your well-being, and I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah, I love the memes where it's like 2015, and it's like, don't sit too close to the TV. And then 2023, it's like literally a TV. It couldn't be closer to your eyes on your VR headset. But interestingly, I think for Roblox, I mean, it is interesting watching the beast come alive, right? Like, it's obviously been a big deal, and it always starts with kids, and these trends do. Like, TikTok was exactly the same, and I remember really clearly a lot of my peers like thinking it was for lip syncing and for kids doing lip syncing stuff. And then slowly and really subtly, it turns into this platform where now you've got people of all ages making business content and whatever else. And Roblox is beginning to do that. And I think I read a mad stat that was in the video. I did like a parent's guide video, which is on the channel. And it's something like 43% of Roblox users are now over 17. It's really like is aging up pretty quickly, which is interesting. So yeah, the VR stuff's coming. It's now crossing over into the real world with little things. It is this sort of juggernaut, which is the right way to build a metaverse experience versus some, you know, other ones that promised but didn't have the user base to start with. So it is interesting watching it happen kind of in real time.
Yeah, it's maturing rapidly, and they're bringing out these higher resolution models. They've got generative AI coming in. There's something about the aesthetic of Roblox that I just can't handle. It just drives me nuts.
I know what you mean.
But my daughter loves it. I'm like, she's showing me off her outfits that she's made. She did a Wednesday Addams outfit. She designed it herself. And it's like, this is so cool. And then you see the face of the little puppet and it's like, nah, I just can't get there. I can't get there. But they are introducing these higher resolution things. As I said, it's just, it drives me bananas. Yeah. But you can't ignore it. You absolutely 100% cannot ignore it. And it's funny what you said about 43% of users being over 17. Because, like, you know, if you think about global gaming statistics, when you think of a gamer in your head, you've got this picture of someone with like RGB coming out of every orifice and like a neon thing. I'm like, hey guys, what's up? Welcome to my channel. I'm going to be streaming in the Fortnite. What?
Everything's crazy all the time.
Oh my God. What? But actually, the highest category of gamers worldwide, they play on their mobile phones, they are women. They are housewives playing Words with Friends. That is just statistically where we're at. Candy Crush, Words with Friends. That's your mobile gaming mafia right there.
Nice. Okay, should we talk about superconductors? Because they are weird.
Is it a bloke on your local bus with a cape? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's the weird superhero. Yeah, what the fuck is a superconductor? Why are people losing their minds on this?
That should be the name of your new science show. What the fuck with Luke Franks?
It's pretty good. Yeah, we'll just dive into these topics that I don't really understand, but I'm...
Flat Maltesers. Work that one out.
Oh.
A flat Malteser. What the fuck is a flat Malteser? It's basically like, I don't know why I'm showing this to you, but it just blew my mind today that this was such a thing. It looks like a Malteser pizza. Like a chocolate button with all the crunchy stuff in the middle. I can't show it to you.
I had no idea that was a thing.
There you go. You
can
see it
now. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
For anyone listening, like, it's much how it sounds. It's a Malteser, but
that's innovation. Like, we've taken the Malteser as far as it could possibly go. Well, I just dropped one on the floor and stepped on it. Yeah, let's sell that.
And it works. I love how we've gone from potentially one of the most fundamental advancements in humanity, depending on what some people are saying, to a flat Malteser. But superconductors, not dissimilar in some ways. I'll try and do this, shall I? I'll try and go through this, and you can correct me where I'm wrong, because this is how I understand what's going on, and I keep seeing very technical posts, so I've tried to break it down. So this is a big deal. is what people are saying. So this could be a major breakthrough for humanity, the biggest deal since the transistor, which is basically crucial to every electronic device that we have now. We wouldn't have computers or phones or mobile anything without transistors. Not really sure what they are, but I think they flick switches or something. Not sure. This, though, is a new paper based on superconductivity. So it was published by a Korean team, and they're trying to basically recreate it. And some sources are confirming that this paper like looks to be the real deal. So it's a new breakthrough. It's named LK99, sure. And they've discovered a compound that could lead to room temperature superconductors. But what are superconductors? Well, they conduct electricity without any loss, meaning no wasted energy in the form of heat, which, as we'll go on to in the use cases, could be a huge deal. Why is it important? They could revolutionize technology by allowing almost perfect, efficient computing and loads of other applications, including consumer electronics, quantum computing, magnetic applications like maglev trains, which is where I think they're sort of hovering on the tracks, might be wrong, fusion reactors, cheaper MRI machines, electric motors, and I've got a load more as well. Loads of environmental benefits, because they basically increase energy efficiency, more sustainable technology. So I can go through some use cases for the average person. How might this affect everybody? I've got some examples, but how well did I do with that description?
Yeah, pretty good. It's basically sending electrical current down a wire is inefficient, because you've basically got these electrons that kind of sort of bumble their way down the cable, and they bump into each other and the material and they basically lose about 10% of the energy that's transmitted along the wire, and often a lot more. So it's a very inefficient process. And superconductors allow you to get not perfect, but near perfect efficiency. And usually in order to create a superconductor, you either have to produce conditions of extreme pressure or extreme cold. And that means that, you know, it's difficult to maintain those at any kind of consumer level, because it's, yeah, you need lots of liquid helium or liquid nitrogen, these kind of things to keep things cool. On a weird side note, superconductors have this other weird property that they interfere with magnetic fields in a way that can be trained or programmed or learned at a specific moment in their existence. And why that's interesting is because of the maglev train. So what it effectively means is you can run a superconductor or a superconductive material and put it on top of magnets, and you'll see these experiments online where people have done that and they've achieved levitation or a hoverboard. There was an amazing Lexus commercial from 2015 where they did this, and they had a skateboarder riding a hoverboard on a purpose-built track. The track had these magnets in it. You had to fill the board itself up with, I think it was liquid helium, liquid nitrogen, one of the two. But anyway, you could get about 15 minutes worth of drive time with these superconductors built into the board itself. But you fill up the cooling material while it's sitting on the same magnets they're going to be using in the track. And that's how it learns that is the magnetic field that it's going to be interacting with. It's amazing stuff. So that's how you get the maglev train effects. And so you have a train that gets up to around 93 miles per hour rolling on rubber wheels. And then at that point, the superconductors take over. They lift the train up and you achieve the friction-free joy of maglev, where you can whiz along and you don't lose any of the energy to friction, to the usual things that cause losses of efficiency. So why this is interesting is because this is a room temperature semiconductor, which means you don't need to create highly complex conditions that need to be maintained and could be potentially dangerous. You can just do it at room temperature. And the other thing is they can do it with materials that are commonly available, which means it's basically like unlocking massive scale efficiency and energy to power all sorts of different applications. But there is a caveat to all of that, which is this is not the first time that a scientific team have claimed this. And it's very difficult to prove it. And the conditions that they talk about in the paper, they haven't been able to replicate them yet. So there's some skepticism about it. What is interesting, though, is that they may not have actually created a room temperature semiconductor superconductor, but they may have created something else entirely which would also be super interesting and super helpful for all sorts of consumer electronics and also, you know, industrial electronics as well. So stay tuned. But yes, if we're talking about, you know, the immense task ahead of building a fully interoperable 3D persistent universe, the electronic part, the hardware part, the mechanism by which data is transferred from one server to another is going to be a big deal. So things like this, they do matter. The infrastructure is interesting. All this type of technology, you know, TSMC transistors, 1 nanometer transistors, blows my brain. It's on an order of level of complexity that is baffling. And actually, funny enough, here in the Netherlands is one of the companies that makes all this possible, because obviously TSMC in Taiwan, but there's also ASML in the Netherlands, which makes this photolithography equipment, allowing you to write onto silicon chips to print patterns. And they're the only company in the world that can do it to the specification that is required by the likes of NVIDIA, for instance. It's mental. Like, this is, you know, you talk about concentrating the power of the entire world in like tiny places like Taiwan and the Netherlands. And they do say here, that's why no one will ever invade Holland, because the risk to the global market, if that one company is disrupted in any way, is too great.
Who knew the power that wields in the Netherlands? Quick question. Don't you think it's a bit of a coincidence that just as we are discovering aliens that we talked about last week, this new technology suddenly appeared? What, maybe it was on the UFO spaceships and they've reverse engineered it, just saying. Seems a bit too convenient for me.
Yeah, I did watch all of Graham Hancock's Netflix documentary where he talks about a lost ancient civilization that appeared just after the flood to superpower humanity through its darkest time. Definitely worth watching. There is some weird stuff going on that we just don't know about. We just don't know about. Maybe we don't want to know about.
Well, exactly. I'm half joking, but then also, I don't know. I just literally, any headline now, I'd just be like, yeah, that's probably just how the world is now, because it's going crazy. All right, next, Meta Horizon Worlds. That is Meta's virtual world that they have obviously spent a lot of money when they rebranded, and that was kind of their star product, which is accessible only via Meta Quest headsets, and got, honestly, mixed but generally bad reviews. There was the avatar that Mark Zuckerberg posted that looked like a kind of Wii character, and for all the money that they spent on it, people were like, what is this? I've spent quite a lot of time in Horizon Worlds. I've got a Meta Quest 2 headset. I have had fun in there. I do think there are fun bits, for sure. I can see the sort of vision, and it's kind of the same as the Roblox model to a degree, but it's just rolled out in a really weird way, because A, you could only have access to it via VR only, which makes no sense really, because that isn't how everybody is going to access these worlds. Also, it was just quite empty. There's cool tools to build, and people had made cool things. There's like an amazing game show build where you can play Family Feud, and you can kind of have contestants on stage, and that's really interesting, and there's some really like silly fun nostalgia stuff. But yeah, it didn't bring me back, because there wasn't enough there and it was just a bit meh. But there have been some announcements recently that show that they are working on interesting new things that might kind of pull this back up from the depths. So a lot of people have kind of written off Meta Horizon Worlds or sort of forgotten about it. We talked about Roblox coming in VR, which was interesting because they're obviously a big competitor and they've kind of released first a Meta Quest headset. So it was like, oh, is that the end of Horizon Worlds? No. The news that has come out recently, they've published a new game called Super Rumble within Horizon Worlds. Now, the reason it's interesting is it's kind of a sort of battle royale PvP player versus player type thing, which is nothing new. But it, according to them, sort of heralds a new era of Horizon Worlds platform, one embodied with better graphics and complex gameplay. And also, you can now bring in assets outside of the sort of Horizon Worlds collection. So new kind of textures and objects and assets. So suddenly it can get a lot more creative, not massively dissimilar to the Unreal Engine Fortnite editor, where you're allowing people to kind of bring different stuff into the world and make it playable. So it's like high quality. It's getting pretty good reviews. Reality Labs so far has lost $21 billion since its inception in 2022, but they're kind of doubling down on this. They also have been building a mobile app, which they are ready to release soon. So it's like, okay, this is coming to more than one platform. Fine. Finally, maybe it's beginning to sort of show some life. But yeah, do you spend a lot of time in there? What are your thoughts on Horizon Worlds?
No, I mean, it's interesting to see them try and capture a piece of this market, because obviously everyone looks at Roblox and thinks we need to do that. But it'd be interesting to go back and look at where Roblox was when it first started, because I think probably people thought it was pretty meh and wasn't very interesting. And these things take time to get adopted, and people have to sort of fall in love with the platform and fall in love with the community around it. And without any community, it's going to be difficult for them to do that. But I mean, they're spending so much money on it. It's kind of like, let's just throw a bunch of stuff at a wall and see what sticks. They did make a big noise about creators and trying to bring creators onto the platform. And that's kind of what you have to do. We're in this era of immense UGC possibility. But, you know, we're spending a lot of time personally building in UFN because it makes a lot of sense for us. And then, you know, for some people, it makes a lot of sense to build in Roblox. Maybe for some people, it'll make a lot of sense to build in Horizon Worlds. But VR is a niche category anyway. And you're hoping to capture a niche category of a niche category, which is people who are curious enough and hungry enough to try a new platform, even when there's nobody there, because it's fun, in a weird niche category when it's very hard for other people to join in. So that mobile app, without a shadow of a doubt, has to be really sticky and really fun. The problem for Meta, as you can probably already guess, is that the reason they've invested so much in Oculus and in that platform is because they didn't have a hardware device. They didn't have a phone. They didn't have anything where they could capture players. And now they're having to borrow the eyeballs of another device in order to feed their own device. And that feels like it's a tough sell. But maybe, you know, as these things mature and we get further into their billion-dollar roadmap or their multi-billion-dollar roadmap, where it'll, you know, be a little easier.
Yeah, it's weird that they often get the criticism, and probably rightly so, that they aren't that innovative, but just are, you know, like take everyone else's ideas to a point, you know, like some truth. And that obviously with the kind of like taking Snapchat stories and making it Instagram stories, and then obviously Twitter and Threads and stuff like that. I mean, initially Facebook, of course, but yeah, and that seems to be a little bit true here, where yeah, they've seen sort of the wave coming, Roblox and Fortnite, and then have like sort of done their thing. I wouldn't know where to place my bets or whether it will be a massive success. There was another thing that another story that came out with them around them teaming up with UFC, which is massive, one of the fastest growing sort of sports, and they're creating this kind of themed experience there. So it's essentially the UFC zone. You can watch 4K, 180 degree streams of fights, socialize with other players about UFC, see a virtual recreation of the octagon as if you're kind of right by it, and complete in-world games to get exclusive unlockable rewards and eventually become a UFC Hall of Famer, whatever that means. I did go to their NBA build, and it was cool. It was really fun because you could basically go into like a fan zone, right, at a physical sports game. You had the game playing on the massive screen, but there was also other people there. There was like a kind of zone where you'd go into and it was silent, and then you could go and chat to other people. And then there was like a court, so you could go and shoot hoops with somebody in VR whilst the massive screen was there. And I'm like, okay, there's something here. The fan zone idea that if you couldn't go around your friend's house to watch it on TV, you could go and hang out with them. And if you're like, want to view it casually, I get that. Like the sports thing will come, I think. And we saw it in all the Apple Vision Pro stuff as well. So that is interesting.
Yeah. Do you remember how excited we got about the Vision Pro when we saw the Disney presentation and you could see courtside games? And it was obviously a CG build. Then it's never going to look like that. But everyone was just like, oh, damn, we can do that. That's where this is going. I think, honestly, for Meta, the best thing that can happen is for Vision Pro to be a stonking success and there to be all these incredible experiences on Vision Pro that people just need to have, because pretty much nobody will be able to afford the Vision Pro. So what will they buy instead so they can have a similar kind of experience? They'll buy a Quest, because the Quest will be, you know, the down dirty cheapy one that's accessible. That's the best, most optimistic thing for Meta, because if you know, I know a lot of people that were like, I'd never buy a Mac. Too expensive. That rubbish, the operating system. I'm a PC person, mate. Well, no, that's just cheaper. Yes, I get it. And I feel like the Quest could be in that space, as long as the Vision Pro ends up being a success.
That is shaping up. Yeah, you're exactly right. That is smart. Like, I think people will, it's going to be way too expensive, like you said, and people will go in. And I am noticing a lot more people ask about it. A lot of my friends who have never been into VR, go like either getting the PSVR 2 or wanting to just getting questions about it. And once you've played it and experienced it, like you do, there is that immediate thing of what you do want to get involved. So I'm starting to see it creep in. So I think as the next wave comes, like it's gonna come. It is happening. It's just taking its time.
We're in this kind of strange time where I love shooting with real cameras. I mean, I really do. It's like the most fun thing, picking up a camera and putting some lights up and creating something out of your brain. And I've spent so much time this last 6 months building in 3D and putting myself into a 3D character and trying to make it perform somewhere close to the way I perform. It's really, really hard. But you realize that the assets that we create are highly interoperable and highly repurposable. And there's something really exciting about that. The ability to, you know, we might model an item, design an item. That item can then be shared with a community. It can also be repurposed for something else. Suddenly you realize you're creating this library of assets that can be reused ad infinitum. It can also be experienced in VR. So anything we build in Unreal, you just plug in the VR thing and then suddenly I could be there in VR. So I can go and explore the builds that we've created in VR. And it's like, yeah, but that's kind of interesting that I have this multi-purpose, multi-sensory potential in the work that I'm creating. I've never had that before. Like if I ever shot a music video, you'd have one day to shoot it. You build these sets or you build these environments, all this lighting, and then you rip it down, it's done. The world we're getting to now, like so many TV shows are using virtual production environments and massive LED walls and things. But those same environments could be used for, you know, an episode of a show that we're coming up with at the moment where I go and like walk around these sets and review them and talk about them. Like they can just send us the files and suddenly we can create a TV show. It's kind of cool, but I do miss physical production because virtual production is really hard.
Yeah. Well, it's just where we're at, isn't it? Like it's right. These things are coming. They all make a lot of sense. Being able to experience it in whatever medium you want to is how things are going to adopt. Roblox is kind of showing that.
You used a word there, which is experience. I think for so many of the things that we talk about, it's not a great experience. Like I keep coming back to the Travis Scott concert in Fortnite. For the people who were there, that was an amazing experience. And it was not live. It was pre-recorded. It was all kind of baked into the thing. But it really was a great experience. And unless you really understand what an experience is from an end user perspective, it's super tough because you can't just build something and put a game in it and then it's like, oh, it's a great experience. There's so much more to it than that. And figuring that out, figuring out a way to turn a piece of 3D geometry into a genuine actual experience it's becoming more and more well-trodden, I think, as more and more people are doing UGC and figuring out their own weird hacks and different versions of doing things. We're starting to see a new language for this stuff spring up. But again, I don't know where it's all going, but it's kind of fascinating.
I reckon that's probably the pod this week.
That probably is the pod. We've covered a lot of ground, mainly bashing Meta or not bashing Meta and talking about the cynical side of Roblox. But yeah, you know, if you weren't convinced that the metaverse was real or being wheeled into existence by the largest technology companies on the planet, I mean, it's got to be obvious now, right?